Before I start this episode, I want to talk about calisthenics. Now, I know this is a football podcast, but I'm sure some of you listeners have little girls aged between 2 and 6 years old and not sure what you want to do with them in the future, whether it's a sport like basketball or football, and usually you have to wait till they're 6 or 7 years old. Well, Rayburn Calisthenics Club, a club based in Craigieburn, are running a Tiny Tots program for 2 to 6 year olds. Tiny Tots is a great introduction to calisthenics at a very young age. What is calisthenics, might you ask? Well, calisthenics combines dancing, gymnastics, and ballet all together. It promotes great team involvement in a fun, team-orientated environment. I've seen the benefits with my own daughter as far as confidence and working within a team for a common goal. She's grown a lot through calisthenics, and Rayburn have some great coaches as well. First class starts Tuesday, 3rd of October, and the classes are for 4 weeks. $10 each class, and they get to participate in an end-of-year concert as well, which is a lot of fun. Any questions, you can go on socials and type in Rayburn Calisthenics. That's spelled R-A-I-E-B-U-R-N Calisthenics, C-A-L-I-S-T-H-E-N-I-C-S for more information. Probably Facebook or Instagram are the best places to find out more information about it. Or if you like, just message me and I can pass on the info. So now let's get on with the show.
Hashtag Kangaroos.
Hi, this is Ben McKay from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host,
Dean Vasek.
Let's go, Kangas!
David Uniac getting early possessions. Cunnington for the dream start. Cunnington for 35. They come from everywhere, and the party starts early for the number 10. What a wonderful, wonderful scene.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on X at hashtag Kangas, Instagram hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight I welcome back the boys to go through a bit of news that has happened over the last couple of weeks. So I've got Jesse and Frank to talk about that tonight. We obviously talked about the assistance package that was delivered to us yesterday. Were we happy with it? Were we unhappy with it? Best and fairest news that happened with Harry Sheezel winning it, Ben McKay, Todd Goldstein news. There was a lot to go through, so let's not waste any more time and bring on Jesse and Frank to talk about it.
Jesse and Frank, welcome back to the show. It's been a while, and we've had a little bit of news lately in the last couple of weeks since the end of the season, and the biggest news in the last 24 hours has been the AFL and the assistance package that we got. So I'll go through that now. So it's an end of first round of this year and 2 end-of-first-rounders next year, basically. That's under review next year. I mean, if we win 8 games, then that will probably be taken away. The biggest one, Jesse, is Riley Sanders' access, and we don't have any access to him, unfortunately. The AFL have caved to club pressure and not given the team any access to Riley Sanders, which hurts, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. It was a bit of a weird one because they obviously allowed him to join our NGA at the very last second and then didn't give us access to him. So, once they do that, it doesn't really mean anything, given the fact that that was stripped away effectively. So, look, not getting access to him sucks a little bit. I thought that was definitely something they could do. And I'd argue that it's actually probably a better measure than giving people multiple first round picks. There's definitely, it's one of the more interesting, assistant packages. You never know what they're going to do. The AFL, I don't think it's ever the same anymore. It's just, they sit down in a room and come up with some crazy ideas and then they go ahead with them. And that's kind of what it looks like. I can understand the uproar, both 2 and 4. It's going to be interesting to see what we can do with it.
We'll definitely ask you about that in a second. Frank, your thoughts on the assistance package? I mean, it only seemed like a few days ago that we had access to Sanders, but we don't now.
I think we do, Dean, to be honest. I think the AFL have given us the Sanders jigsaw puzzle and gone, here are all the pieces, you put it together and work your way up into pick 6 or 5 or 4 or whatever you need, because having a look at those picks, Dean, they're going to equate to about 2,200 points when you throw in compensation picks, academy picks, things like that. It's going to push him into the low, possibly even mid-20s. And that's going to be around about 700 to 800 points for those picks each. You put them together, you're looking at 2,200 points, maybe 2,400 points. It's going to land you around about pick four. So the way I look at it, I think the AFL have gone, we're not going to give him to you. We're going to give you the tools to see whether you're smart enough to get access to him with the picks that we've given you.
Yeah, no, that's it certainly sounds like a little bit of posturing there with those draft picks and the points system with that. Jesse, no, we have two first rounders for next year. We pretty much should be trading them, shouldn't we? Because, we can't hang on to them thinking that, the AFL, you've won six or seven games, you're on the right trajectory. So, you're losing pretty much.
Yeah, it was kind of weird unpacking that last night. You know, initially you had the, this is what we've got. And, you know, reading that, it seemed like overs. My first initial reaction was, why did they give us two next year when we need that this year? But then, once it got leaked that they would be up for review, that was then a bit of a worry. And then when they added that, but you can trade them this year. Yeah, look, as Frank said, I think it's pretty obvious that they've sat down with us and said, look, we'll give you one end of first round, which I actually don't mind an end of first round and some rookie picks. I think that should maybe be a standard going forward for these type of things. Nothing more than an end of first. I think Brisbane were the last team other than the Gold Coast to get a priority pick. And I think they got an end of first. I think that's pretty genuine. Generous. So I'd be going with that going forward. But I think effectively what they've done is said, well, look, we'll give you two for next year. You're obviously going to trade them with someone for this year, because, we'll put that clause in there that says, we'll review them. You trade them out and then you can use that for a little bit extra. It's going to be fascinating what we do with it. I think a strong part of that would be, well, you need to go get a pick to get Sanders. I think that's absolutely up for grabs, and it would probably be high on our mind. It's just, it's an intriguing one. If we can end up getting, three picks in the top five or six, what we would actually do with them. And if Sanders is actually someone who we would want out of the players available, it's going to be an interesting one.
I forgot to mention that we get two extra rookie listed players, spots on the list as well. So that means Frank, Kane Turner and Daniel Howe could be back.
Well, that's right. Well, I guess, Dean, in a roundabout way, it probably means we don't have to make the cuts to the list as deep as we were going to. So I would prefer to think that it's probably Hamish Free.
I see Liam Shields is going to get another contract? I think I read that today.
And that's too with Liam Shields. So I think that might just be a more of a rather than you're getting two extra rookies, we're not cutting the two that you had already.
That's right. So, we'll see how that plans. I don't think it's going to be that much of a benefit anyway. Only two extra rookie listed spots. Generally, rookie listed players probably aren't going to make a big impact to your AFL team. It's a bit like a mid-season draft, you might be lucky and nab one, but our history with mid-season drafts haven't been great. So we'll see how that pans out. Now, if we play this right, we could get a really strong hand this year and not worry about next year's draft so much. And that's how we probably should be approaching it, shouldn't we?
The question is Dean, if we play it right. And I think deep down that is all North supporters' greatest fears, is that we drop this. We've really got an opportunity to go in with a heavily stacked hand, be bold and brave and really leverage those picks to get what we need and start to climb. But we've seen it's happened to Melbourne, when they were burning first round draft picks and they just couldn't get it right with their Jimmy Tumpuses and their Jack Watts and things like that. And you just hope that whoever's guiding the ship now has better luck than what we've had previously.
Yeah, no, look, it's going to be a big, off-season, probably one of our biggest off-seasons for a very long time, to be honest with you. So, yeah, obviously that will play out over the next few weeks. Now, Jesse, no surprises with the Ben McKay news last week. We knew he would explore free agency. Chose Essendon, and it might not be a band one compensation pick for him now is the latest news. Have you heard that?
Oh, look, I've read all sorts of things. Surely that's not the case. I mean, I read the offer from Hawthorn was absurd, so surely he hasn't turned down significant money to go to Essendon. That would be a surprise, with all respect to Essendon. You know, yeah, it's probably not the place you're going to, you know, chase success at this point in time. Look, I think it will end up being enough, or I legitimately think that we'll match it and force Essendon in to do something. Because why wouldn't we? It doesn't make sense to let him go. You know, if you asked me, look, no, I don't think any North supporter thinks that he's worth pick three. No one in the AFL thinks he's worth pick three. Not even Essendon think he's worth pick three. It's purely just that they're desperate for a key defender, and that's how the AFL has carved the rules out. So unless they come up with a fairer system, or get rid of it altogether, you know, things like this are going to happen and people are going to be upset about it. But look, I think it'll end up being pick three. If somehow it ended up being like a mid first, which I don't even think is possible with the compensation, but if it ended up being a mid first, you know, I'd also wouldn't be opposed to that. But I'm not letting him go for, you know, a pick 19. That's not going to cut it for me. So, look, I'm pretty confident that North will do what they have to do to ensure that they get what they need out of the deal.
Well, definitely. Look, I think, you know, Frank, I mean, if it's not band one compensation, then we match and, you know, force Essendon into a trade. Now, they're saying they won't offer, you know, their first round pick. They've got two picks in the 20s, which are probably, you know, I mean, it's a point system, I suppose, at the end of the day, so we can use that. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, well, I mean, we're the ones that hold the hand here, so we can certainly match and, you know, force to keep him even. So, yeah, well, in saying that, Frank, are you surprised he even actually picked Essendon?
Look, I'm not, Dean, to be honest. There's that link, obviously, with Brad Scott. Maybe there's a, you know, a bit of a pull that way. Just touching on what you said then, Dean, about, you know, we hold the upper hand here and, again, that's what I'm fearful of, is that when we've been in this position before, we've folded like red hot Mars bars. So we, you know, we're certainly talking the talk about matching the bid. I just hope that we walk the walk if it goes down that path. But as far as Essendon goes, Dean, I'm not overly surprised, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I mean, out of them and Hawthorn, I suppose, you know, you get to play in an Anzac Day clash and, you know, get to play in big crowds. And, you know, Brad Scott can probably spin a bit of bullshit, sort of saying that they're going in the right direction and so forth. So, yeah, no, good luck to him. Jesse, we have pick two and maybe three. Looks like the Eagles might hold on to pick one now and take Harley Reid with the new 3-year contracts for first-year players. I mean, Daniel Curtin, a key position player, will have to be a priority because we have no key backs at the club.
Yeah, look, I'm pretty confident we'll end up bringing over a key defender either, if, you know, through the VFL or something, or via a trade. So I think we will get a senior in there. I'm not too concerned about that at this stage. I think the interesting part of this is going to be exactly what you just said. Who do we take with that pick? I think Curtin will be either pick two or three for us. You know, I watched a bit of his game on the weekend. He definitely looks like the type of kid that we want to bring in. I know that we've been a bit gun shy with top picks that are talls, but he looks like a quality player. It does look like definitely that West Coast is going to take Harley, and good luck to them. That 3-year contract could have come last year. That would have been nice. Then we would have had a little bit more leverage with the man who polled pretty well last night. One game he shouldn't have polled in, but the rest I thought were pretty fair. But yeah, look, it's yeah, I'd be taking him with either pick two or three, because we absolutely, regardless of who we bring in, we need a young key in the team. So, yeah, look, that's the path I'd be going down. And then I've been pretty keen on Watson, although it does seem like he's potentially going to slide a fair bit. So it's going to be interesting what we do with that pick two or three. And then, obviously, we're going to have a few other picks around the first round, and Ender first and Port Adelaide's first, which luckily ends up being a little bit better thanks to the Lions and the Giants. So we've definitely got a good hand, plus whatever we can do with the two picks for next year. So, look, it's going to be a strong hand. It's a draft. It probably works well for us because this draft in particular, from all the reading and watching I've done, is pretty good in the pointy end, and then it drops off a fair bit. While next year looks like it's a fairly solid year with a lot of midfield depth. Not that that's particularly a need of ours. So, yeah, look, I'd be targeting talls. There's another young kid, Victorian young kid, who's a tall. Is it O'Sullivan or something along those lines, who's meant to go around pick 10? I'd be loading up the talls, to be honest. I think that's the way we need to go, get some in. And if one doesn't make it, that is what it is. But you've got to take the risk.
Do you agree with that, Frank? Like going key position players? Because, yeah, even Alistair Clarkson has mentioned that when he first got to Hawthorn, he wanted to build his side through the spine with, you know, getting the Roughheads and the Franklins. Is that something we should be targeting? I mean, we are very short outside of Nick Larkey. We don't have Ben McKay anymore. Outside of Nick Larkey, we don't really have a great spine, and that's probably really hurt us over the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely, Dean. Yeah, I agree. I think we're probably in a position now where acquiring a hell of a lot more midfielders is just going to push other high draft pick midfielders out. We can't play them all, and we desperately need to reinforce that spine because there's nothing to suggest that the guy we take could pick 3 or 10 or 15 ends up being a 200, 300 game player. So you have to sort of take the risk that or take the mathematical chance that you might pick 2 and only one of them gets there. Or you could ace it like, Clarko did at Hawthorn and get a Roughhead and a Franklin. But it's not often that happens.
No, it's very rare. No, that's for very sure. Rare. Yeah. You could – no, and us, we might end up with Richard Tambling in between. Jesse, we are getting linked with Colby McKercher. He's another player that's linked in the top 5 at pick 3. A left footer, so there's a good chance he'll get. He might be high on our blocks, especially if he's a left footer.
Yeah, well, it's definitely something that we could need. I haven't seen enough of him myself. I've seen very mixed comments about him. He definitely seems like he can rack up the ball. Looks like a player that we could potentially put in that Sheasel role, so a halfback distributor. I've still got, as I said, the tools and probably Watson for mine, because they are needs that we are acutely aware we need to fill in terms of a genuine small pressure forward and some keys. So, yeah, look, coming off the half back line, potentially, I don't know how much of that role he's played before. It does seem like he's a good kick. Seems like he can get the ball. Could potentially release Sheasel to be able to move up the ground. But I'd be... it's going to be interesting to see what we do. I really hope that we don't bring in another midfielder. I mean, Reid would have been the exception. I'd be targeting anything but midfielders this year.
I mean, it's an area we don't really need, and probably half forwards as well. We've got a pretty much a list full of those two positions and nothing else really. So, yeah, we'll see how we go, I suppose. Frank, Todd Goldstein has decided to explore free agency as well. Surprised he has done that?
I'm surprised that he's done it at this time, Dean. I thought his opportunity was with Geelong probably a couple of years ago, around about the time that Higgins went. And he decided to stay, which I sort of thought, he just seems like the kind of guy that he wants to be a one club player, as he said. So I'm surprised that this has happened at this stage. But from all reports, he's been offered a 2-year deal to go over there. And I don't know that he's got 2 years, a bit like Robbie Tarrant. I don't know that he's got 2 years left in him. So if it's a 2-year deal, then, good luck to him and, all the best.
Yeah, I spoke to Ricky Mangides about this last week, and he's sort of thinking that the second year is probably a case of going to coaching after post-football, because Jesse, I don't think he's got more than 12 months in him, and I think probably only 10 to 15 more games of, you know, decent, good football in his career.
Yeah, no, look, I completely agree. I think we saw the drop-off this year. He had one or two good games, but for the most part was pretty average. I think that's a fair comment, or well down on his normal output. So, yeah, look, it's very disappointing. I'm in the camp, though. There was a lot of people on the day who were very upset about it, you know, very, very upset about it. I'm in the camp that it's just part of the sport. You know, you can have a hero, and the fact that they decide to, with a year or two to go to another club, doesn't necessarily... I don't say it's a negative thing. Does it diminish them in our eyes? Probably. I mean, Tarrant was a great player. He left, he retires. You don't think about him as much. While, you know, Siebel Kunner's very different. But in terms of Goldie, look, I think he's kind of in that really, really special bucket where he's one of the best that's ever played for our club. So he, regardless of him going and playing at Essendon, even if he just plays a half dozen games, you know, he'll still go down as a North legend. But look, I tend to agree with you. I think it will be a second-year coaching situation. I don't even know how he's going to get, in all fairness, how he's going to get a game at Essendon. They've got Draper, who is a fairly decent ruck. You have Nick Bryan, who I really rate. I know Kingy really, really rates him more than Draper. I would have liked to have snapped him up. That's for sure. He would have been great on, and he was a not free agent, but he was free this year. He wasn't in contract, so that would have been nice. So I don't know how many games Goldie will get. I can't see them putting in, you know, him above Brian every game. That's for sure. So look, it's sad to see him go, but it allows us to play other ruckmen. I think I put a line through Tristan's area at some point towards the end of the year, though. So. Yeah, in my eyes, unless Callum Coleman-Jones comes back as a dominant ruckman, I think we'll be looking for a ruckman somewhere, or maybe Free will come along. We need to sort out the ruck situation. That's definitely something we need to consider.
I was just going to say, Jesse, just to add to that, Scott Draper, he got announced just a little while ago. He's going in for groin surgery. So, and may, you know, they're hoping to have him ready for the round one. But that may be a part of why they've gone after Goldstein.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Sure. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, it's probably just a short-term play, just to add a bit of cover. I mean, if it's, groin surgery, that can be a lingering issue for a long time. So, we'll see how we go with that. But that's if he does pick Essendon. It isn't confirmed just yet. Frank, we're going to lose Goldie. Are you confident in Tristan Sherry, or should we be looking at... someone like a Scott Lysette, who's out of contract at Port Adelaide, just for a bit of experience and, you know, a mature body.
I'm not confident, Dean. I hope, to put it bluntly, I hope that he develops, and it's the only way we're going to find out is by throwing him in the deep end. But I'm not confident, no. I would like something more than just Hamish Free backing him up or Coleman Jones. Whether they go and pull a Sam Naismith out of the VFL or a Lysette or something like that as a backup, I'd be happy with that. But I'd be very nervous of going in with Sherry and Coleman Jones as your 1-2 punch in the ruck.
And even Hamish Free, I suppose, as well. So, I haven't seen anything in the VFL to suggest that he's going to be a top-line AFL player. So, not yet anyway. I'll go to players that we are getting linked to anyway. So, Zach Fisher and Dylan Stevens are players that we are looking at and probably almost close over the line. Maybe a child as well now as a key position prospect. Have you those early targets, Jesse?
I really like Chol. You can completely understand why we've gone in that. I think he left Richmond around the same time Callum Coleman-Jones did to go to the Gold Coast. I think we might have had a little bit of a dip at him then. So maybe he's not too keen to come to North. But look, I'd be really keen to get him into the club. He's a genuine – he's probably a better ruckman than Callum Coleman-Jones, and probably at this point, albeit he's a bit older, a better forward. So look, he'd be really good to get into the club. I agree. I tend to think he will stay up North. So, you know, Brisbane might be a chance to grab him. Because I think he's got some family up North. I think that's one of the reasons why he chose the Gold Coast initially. So, look, I'd like to get him. In terms of the other two, they're both interesting ones. Dylan Stevens, obviously, really high draft pick. He had a really good final series last year. Hasn't done much else in his career, to be honest. Maybe he just needs a fresh start. Would 100% get the other wing spot from Bailey Scott. And, you know, I think he could be a decent player. I just don't know how high his ceiling is. But definitely could be a best 22 player. In terms of Fisher, I'm not sold yet, especially on a 5-year contract or whatever we've offered him. He looked okay as a depth player at Carlton this year. They played him in a few different spots to usual. It depends where we're going to play him. I think he plays a little bit better when he plays up the ground. While I tend to think if we brought him in, it'd be as a high-pressure small forward who can actually kick goals. So, look, if it's 5 years at minimum wage, I'm happy to do that. I'd love to see the dollars. Look, I'm sure there's some other trades brewing around. I'd be really keen to see what we get done by the end of it. But, you know, adding a few of those blokes to the club, I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. I think all three of those guys are upgrades on your Daniel Howe type. So, you know, you get rid of some, you bring a few in. 5-year deal is probably a little bit too much for Fisher for mine, though.
No, and that's fair enough. I mean, I think he was originally on a 5-year deal at Carlton, and they're trying to offload it now. So, I mean, Frank, at the end of the day, these players aren't going to cost much. And I guess they add depth to your team. And they're not going to be like match winners or anything like that, are they, Frank?
They're not going to move the dial, are they, Dean? I think that's probably the best way to describe them. Again, like you said, depending on their cost, their upgrades for a lot of the blokes that will get delisted this year. But I certainly wouldn't want to be giving away, you know, early second round picks for any of them at this stage, without first securing some height and some key defenders. If we can do that in the first 3 or 4 picks, then I'm happy to sort of spread the love around and try and acquire some experience. But they're not big for me. Maybe Chole, because he sort of can play as a key forward and work in the ruck a bit. I could understand them being a bit more interested in that, but the others, I'm not sort of, you know, going to jump up and down with excitement if we get them.
No, I mean, it seems like, he's very keen on these left-footers. He's going to even go in a draft getting Daniel Curtin and Colby McKercher left-footers, and Zach Fisher, Dylan Stevens, and Marbia Chole left-footers as well. So I don't know what it is. I don't think Clarkson knows that you can recruit right-foot players, but I'm not too sure. I mean, they're not needle movers at the end of the day. I think Zach Fisher averaged about 26 possessions per game in the last 4 weeks of the season. As a rebounding defender, seemed to found a bit of consistency there. But once they started to get players back from injury, there was no role for him. So maybe that could be a role for him next year. I'm not too sure, to be honest with you. So,
yeah.
Any other players or positions we should be targeting right now, Jesse? I mean, it's obvious key position, small pressure and forward. Names come to mind that are in the trade or in the free agency rumour that we could be going after?
Yeah, look, I know Mark's been big on Nick Haynes. He's saying it's a deal done. I'd be absolutely trying to get him in. You know, he's 32 next year. I understand that. But as a stopgap for 2 years, I think he's got another 2 years in him. He could definitely come to the club and play a bit of a role, especially given that Griffin Logue is going to be down for probably half the year. So I'd look, he's on the outer at GWS. He's on a big contract, lots of money. perfect opportunity to pay some of that and get him really, really cheap. So I'd be getting Nick Haynes in as a bit of defender next year and then a bit of depth the year after. So at least a two-year deal for him. I'd be targeting a ruck, absolutely. There is some young rucks going around. I liked Sweet from from Western Bulldogs, but he's nominated Port Adelaide, I believe. There's still another couple young ones I saw that, the one from Port Adelaide, the young fella, he's keen to look elsewhere, and North are pretty keen on him. So I definitely think we need to bring in another ruckman, a key defender. I think the forward line is pretty settled. I'd still like that small pressure, but they can probably bring that in pretty cheap for a temporary measure and then go through the draft. So, yeah, look, for me, if I had to bring in anything this trade period, it would be a key defender and a ruckman. Brody Grundy would be good. I think he's going to settle up in Sydney.
No, and fair enough too. What about you, Frank? Any players come to mind for you?
Has Charlie Spargo had his exit interview at Melbourne yet?
No, that's not a bad one. I don't know, to be honest with you, but I have been told that he has been quite frustrated with his lack of opportunities the last part of the year.
I think you and I may have heard the same thing, Dean, that if there's an opportunity to go elsewhere, that Charlie will explore that.
Yeah. No, well, his old man played at North, so that might be it.
So whether there's a sort of tenuous link there with the Paul playing at having played at North and Charlie not getting all the opportunities he feels he needs, that might be one to watch as far as a small forward goes. But I have heard a whisper that he may be exploring opportunity elsewhere.
No, that's what I've heard as well. So, a very good target for North Melbourne because we do need a pressuring small forward, a smart small forward. So, yeah, because I think all our small forwards combined, we tried a few this year, only kicked about four goals between them. So, I think your mate Kane Turner kicked two of them, I think, Frank. So, 100%. Well, we'll move away from trade targets and drafting. We'll go back to the BNF that happened a couple of weeks ago now. Jesse, Harry Sheasel winning it. Are you happy that a rookie won it, or should we be questioning how a rookie wins it?
A bit of both, mate. He's a ripping bloke, and I'm glad that he won it. I thought Dick Larkey was their best player. You're pretty rough to kick that many goals and not win it for mine. Was happy with Bailey Scott getting third again. I think it shows his level of consistency, which is good. It's fantastic for Sheasel. He's a great bloke, but geez, it's a bit of a worry, isn't it? Having a rookie win your thing. Look, I'll tell you what, if he can, who cares really? If next year he can, if he can continue on and do a bit of a Dacos, I mean, Dacos should have won the Brownlow last night if he had played all the games. So if he can follow on from that, all is forgiven. Who cares how old he is? He can be our best player. I don't really care. It is a bit of a worry. I think we can all admit that LDU is probably the best player at the club, or, you know, with a full season behind him. So hopefully he gets that next year. I don't think it's a huge deal, but it's definitely, a bit of an eye opener, isn't it, in terms of where we're at. So anyone who didn't already know where we were at.
Exactly. Frank Tarrant Thomas, the big surprise with a sixth place finish after only playing half a season. Hopefully we can see it for a full season next year.
I just pray that he gets through the off season. Dean, I think if I don't hear his name again till about February, I'll be absolutely delighted. We all know what his ability's like and how much better he makes us when he's focused on his footy. And we all know how thin the ice is under his feet. So, enormous talent. There's other issues with Tarrant Thomas that we've got to hope he gets right before we start building a side around him.
Jesse, any disappointments with the placings? I guess Jai Simpkin finishing 10th. I don't know where Luke McDonald finished, to be honest with you. But both captains probably a little bit disappointing in that regard. Anyone else or those blokes in particular?
No, that's probably, they're probably the two for mine. You definitely want to see your captains doing a lot better than they did. I didn't think Jai's year wasn't terrible. It just wasn't his best for a few reasons, and I think he'll definitely be he'll definitely rebound. So I'm not, you know, overly concerned. But yeah, they're probably the two for mine. You'd like to see a few of the other players pushing up a little bit. There's a few of the younger blokes who hopefully will take a bit of a step next year. You know, your Phillips Powells, etc. You'd like to see them start pushing up as well. Taron, yeah, agree. He finished pretty high for how many games he played, which again is probably more worrying than Cheezel winning, to be honest. But yeah, look, I think it's just a sign of where we are, to be honest. So look, hopefully some players can push up there next year. I think Bailey Scott again shows that you just need to be consistent. You don't need to try and be flashy or amazing every single week. You just need to show a level of consistency. And that's all we need from our players at the moment. We don't need someone to necessarily take it by the scruff of the neck. We need all of our players to show a level of consistency.
Yeah, I mean, Frank, you would have liked to have seen more, you know, senior players like even Cameron Zerha. I know he missed a few weeks. Well, not so much Todd Goldstein, he's in his mid-30s, but you would have liked to have seen a few more senior blokes be in that top 10, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I guess it's just sort of the kind of season that we had, Dean, you know, with littered with injuries, some really long-term ones. It just, everything that could go wrong did go wrong, and probably in the BNF it was probably more an indication of who managed to stay on the field rather than who played the best footy.
Yeah, I agree. Well, obviously we had more news today, Jesse. Now we named Xavier Clark has been named as assistant coach. Been at Richmond for about 8 years. Do you know anything about him besides that, Jesse?
I remember watching him play. Look, I did a bit of reading into him today. He seems to have had a decent apprenticeship over at Richmond. Took over their VFL team this year, so that probably shows that he has a decent, some decent leadership qualities behind him, which is good. He seems pretty highly rated. So look, I think it's really good getting him to the club. There's obviously Clarko and the crew have seen something about him that they like. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with the coaching crew this year. Obviously a few outs, so they'll get some fresh minds in. I don't mind definitely bringing some people in the Richmond Collingwood mould. You know, you bring them from some clubs that had success or are going through some success. It brings a fresher mind as well. So yeah, look, I think Rouge fans should be pretty excited about getting him to the club. I went and did some reading on the Big Footy on Richmond, and they seemed pretty happy with what he did there. Apparently, he was really well rated. So, yeah, it looks like an exciting get.
Yeah, Frank, do you know much about him? It looks like we're trying to get a bit more youthful with assistant coaches. Rather than probably going for more senior blokes that have been around, like a Stuart Dew and so forth.
Yeah, look, I think there's two things. As much as I'd been a fan of the people that had been there, it was time for a change. I think we all agree that development and stuff like that was stagnating. So I'm happy that they're trying new people, new ideas, new faces, a new voice. My memories of Xavier Clark is having grown up in the southern suburbs, a stone's throw away from Moorabbin. I'm surrounded by St Kilda supporters. And he was a bit of a whipping boy for the Saints as far as his disposals went. So I know he did. He was a really early draft pick. I think they gave him Nathan Burke's jumper number when he retired. And that obviously came with a fair bit of pressure. And he did get a bit of a kicking from the Saints supporters when he was a player, but haven't really followed his career as a coach, but like Jesse, the Richmond people seem to speak very well of him. So I think it's great to get a new voice down there.
Yeah, I mean, Alistair Clarkson's recruiting left footers that used to play as well. So he's got coaches as well. So there you go. Yeah, no, he was a, I think he was a top five draft pick from memory. And yeah, he might have even been a, you know, a conversation pick back in the day. I'm not too sure. But yeah, he probably didn't fulfill his potential in his playing career and had to cut it short through a couple of ACLs. So yeah, hopefully he can bring something to the club. Jesse, before I let you go, any thoughts on the Brownlow last night?
Yeah, look, it was an interesting poll. Look, I think I've always been of the opinion, or at least of the opinion in the last few years, that Brownlow isn't the all, you know, I think most people can admit that the coaches' awards are probably the better awards going around. They don't have the, you know, the red carpet and whatnot, but they're far more accurate. The top... That said, the ones who polled the best last night were still the same people who polled the best in the coaches awards, just in different order. So I don't think it was as far off the mark as some people said. There were some howlers. The one where Jason Horne-Francis got 13 disposals and somehow got 3 votes was a very, very weird one. And I'm not picking on him. As I said, I thought the rest of them were pretty accurate in terms of, so I think, you know, he polled pretty well for a second year player. Yeah, look, Neil shocked me a little bit. I was thinking going into the night that Bont might get it done. But yeah, it was a good night. I was lucky enough to be there through work, so that was I was fanboying a few of the players. Got a photo with Harry Sheasel, Jai Simpkin, and a few of the other North boys. Sheasel was a ripper. Had a good chat with him. So yeah, he's a lovely guy. Can confirm all the North boys seem to be pretty well behaved. Didn't see any of them at the after party, unlike a certain Carlton key forward who may or may not have done some shots with me. So I'll let the imagination run wild on that one. But yeah, it was a very eye-opening night to the inner workings of some of the players.
Was this key forward is no relation to a player that played at North?
Well, you got a 50% yes or no. So I'd say you're actually in the 50% no bucket there, if that helps us answer your questions.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So
well, there's the other key forward. So. Yeah,
oh,
nice.
But it was a good night. Yes, yeah, Harry Shears was an absolute ripper. That's all I can say.
Yeah, no, he's a very humble individual, isn't he? So, yeah, no, that must be the highlight of your life, Jesse, I would have to think. So, yeah, no, it's not a bad night if you're chatting to Harry Sheasel, that's for sure. Frank, any thoughts on the Brownlow, or are you happy to wrap it up there?
No, mate, I didn't watch any of it. I just sort of had it on the PC updating the live tally. Obviously, we didn't have a horse in the race, to be honest, so... I just sort of watched with a little bit of interest, but nothing too big. Just happy to see Jesse's smiling face this morning on that photo that he sent through. So knowing that he had a good time.
Yeah, I did see that. Nice, good stuff, Jesse.
It was pretty good, mate. It was pretty good. There was all the players are pretty happy to get a photo. It's funny. You obviously see them in person and you realize how tall or not tall they are. Like Sheasel, you know, it's probably same height, if not slightly taller than myself. Toby Green, I had a good chat with Toby Green. He was actually very, very well mannered, which I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't believe, but he was actually quite lovely. He's shorter than me though. So I'll take that. But it was a good night, and yeah, it was nice to talk to a couple of the North boys. Didn't grab a photo with Luke McDonald. I tried to get one with Nick Malarkey, but he seemed pretty preoccupied. But Luke McDonald's the only one I didn't get a photo with last night of the North boys who I had access to. Paul Curtis disappeared pretty early. Hopefully he didn't get run off with a few of the other boys I saw running around. I think they definitely would have had a big night, some of the AFL boys.
Definitely. We've seen it before. So, it's cost people players' careers before too, so going back years. But, glad it was a good night, Jesse, and most players were behaved. And I guess you have to be pretty well behaved because, with People, everyone's got a phone these days, so they can quickly get a recording of you. So you have to be pretty well behaved and be careful with what you do. So, anyways, Jesse, thanks for finishing off on that note. It was good to get your thoughts on the Brownlow and how the night went. I'm sure I'll chat to you soon.
Thank you for having me, mate.
No dramas. Frank, thank you very much for coming on as well.
Thank you very much, Dean, and thank you, Jesse.
So thank you very much to those boys for coming on the show. Once again, a lot to go through, like I said at the start of the show. So that's it for today's show. I will be back probably Thursday at this stage. I'll have something on for all you lovely listeners. So I'll, I'm not so sure what I'm going to do, whether I'm going to continue the player reviews or something else. I will keep you posted, but I will look to do another episode Thursday evening. Try and catch up a bit, and there'll probably be some more news over the next 48 hours. Anyways, once again, thanks to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, and comments you all put out for the show. It's much appreciated. If you can leave a rating and review on your favourite podcast platform as well, that would be even more appreciated. So, like I said, that's it for tonight. And tonight, I will leave a shout-out to David King at DavidKing34. Bye for now, and go Roos.